with 28 guys. Now my odds are just better.
You know, I'm so bad at math, you guys, don't ask me.
Not an easy problem to have, but it's a fun one to have, going on date after date after date. I am the most uncoordinated, clumsy person. I think I had a pretty good picker.
Bring on the man!
Put up with me through the entire journey.
Don't you know?
Hello, Internet. Welcome to episode 4 of this season's 25 Your Life, season 11. I have a special treat for everyone listening, a kind of a special treat for me too, because I have a guest host tonight who is one of my like oldest friends who engages in Bachelor and Bachelorette activity. And one of my friends from college, Emily, is here. Emily, say hello to the people.
Hello, Internet.
Listener,
first time caller.
Have you just been sitting on that, like, your own hello Internet the whole time?
Yes, absolutely.
It feels good, right?
At all.
Yeah. The whole Internet is listening to you.
Everyone.
So tell the people about yourself, specifically, like, how you engage with the show.
Oh, well, I make a drinking game every week for my friends to partake
in. That sounds like the healthiest habit.
So healthy. Lots of here for the right reasons drinks.
Sure.
I am a teacher of English to the high schoolers in Virginia Beach. What's up, guys? Other than that, I'm pretty boring. Like to drink wine, watch The Bachelor, watch The Bachelorette.
How long have you been doing that?
Oh, since...
I mean, the drinking wine maybe...
Drinking wine for a while, but I guess I haven't, like, actually watching The Bachelorette and The Bachelor franchise since Chris's season and actually paying attention to it.
And listening to 25 to Life also.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lesson in this for our listeners. It's that if you listen to the show long enough and just, like, engage with us, you too, and then fly to San Francisco.
Yes.
You too could end up in our luxurious studio.
An all-expenses-paid trip.
Right. Sponsored by somebody to be named later, I guess. So that's it. Let's jump into the show.
Okay.
Let's start with the end of the road. We lost so many people tonight.
Yes.
I'm not even sure how many we started with, but we lost 5 of them. And now we're down to, like, what, a dozen or so? I can't count. Oh, look. Emily has them all actually, like, counted out.
10, 11. Now we're down to 11.
Down to 11.
Yes.
That's a lot. So let's... we had 2 rose ceremonies, so we had two, and we lost somebody even outside of that. Spoiler alert, right? So we're going to start with the first rose ceremony. We lost one of my favorites of all time, cute little womany Ryan.
Literally didn't even remember who he was.
They
all look alike.
They do, but he was like the tiniest and the cutest and like kind of the most handsome.
So, okay, so you see a lot of yourself in him, okay.
No, yeah. Me? Like tiny and womany? Yeah.
No.
No.
Like tiny and cute. Yes,
oh,
that
yeah.
is 100%.
Wait, did I say?
That is 100%.
Where
how
did
you
that word come from? Yeah, I mean, if you're listening and you've never met me, I'm like, I'm enormous. I'm the size of 2 or 3 full-grown men strapped together. Yeah, we lost Ryan. I liked Ryan. I thought he was going to be... He was the banjoist. I thought he was going to be one of those guys where it's like... I thought he was going to be one of those guys where it's like you get to the end of the season and you're like, how is he here? And then he ends up stealing it, right? Like winning.
Yeah. Not so much.
No, I guess he's out.
You got to make room for the people who have the drama.
Got to leave Nick in there. anyway, so we also lost Mike, who has long hair. And did you...
Also could not
Did
remember.
He do anything?
I don't think so. He was so unmemorable. That's just really the best way to describe him.
So we're sitting here and we're watching the show in our gigantic, lavish studio. And in the middle of the show, we're like, wait, what does Lincoln do again? Because he should be able to read by now. And I was like, oh, I'll look it up. But what I really did was first, well, I really did look up what he does. But I also looked up... What is Mike's name? Because I wanted to be really sure that I wasn't missing
it.
He's Mike. He's been on the show for like 4 episodes now. Hasn't done anything.
I don't remember him at all. I don't remember him on any of the group dates. I don't remember him from the first nights. But
he's the non-Leo guy with long
hair,
I guess. Sorry, Mike. Let's talk about John Blanc.
What a mess.
So, I was... That came out of nowhere.
He was cringy towards the end there.
What do you mean?
So cringy is what the kids say when you do something to make someone else very uncomfortable.
How would you know what the kids say?
Because I work with kids.
You are. You're like undercover one of them, like an adult who lives among them.
Yes.
Like 21 Jump Street.
Yes.
That's
except
what you
without
are.
The drugs. Yes, that's 100%
sure.
What I
mean,
am.
We're like on air, so sure.
Yeah.
Without the drugs.
Absolutely. Say less, as the kids say.
Yes. I mean, I guess we'll talk about it later.
He was uncomfortable.
I thought he was going to go.
Yeah.
He was an adult.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites.
He was my number one favorite, as you may remember from all of my power rankings so far.
And he came with a gift ready to go. Here's some perfume for you.
I don't think that is a good gift. I don't know. He definitely did.
He wanted to mark his territory.
That is an excellent. I had never even thought
of
that.
That is why the best gift a girl can give a guy when they're first dating is, here's some cologne so I can mark my territory.
And now you just smell like her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
100%.
Is that the trick to it?
I know what's up. Yes.
I've received cologne from women before
that
I was dating. Not just random women.
I hope
I walked up to a woman on the street. She gave me cologne and then she peed on me. It's like, it's very interesting how she just marks it like that. I guess I never thought about that.
Yeah, marking the territory. Because, I mean, really, what guy?
Did you do that with your husband?
Yes, absolutely I did.
First date?
Not first date.
Okay.
But
how soon?
First Christmas gift? Yeah, I think first gift, Christmas gift.
Do you remember what kind it was?
I
bet you.
Ralph Lauren Polo number 4.
I bet you he remembers. Yeah, and he wears it all the time.
He's like,
I'm doing this for my wife,
and she
doesn't even remember.
Special occasions. Because what guy wears cologne on a daily basis if they're not trying to impress a woman?
That's a great question. Taylor got me cologne, and I wore it for, like, a couple of days.
Exactly.
And then I was like, man, this is kind of exhausting. Every day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
marking the territory.
Wow, I guess it backfires. The other direction, male, female,
and
doesn't
then,
work.
And then, but once you get the cologne, then you're hooked.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's more to it than
I
thought.
Way more to it.
Second rose ceremony, we lost something called Nick.
A figment of our imagination.
A figment of our
possibly.
Imagination.
Was he there? Was he not?
It's like at the end of The Sixth Sense, little boy was like,
yes.
Nick. Nick exists. And everyone's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Has Nick been dead this whole time?
Exactly. Has
he
Nick
kind of
been
has
dead?
The coloring for it.
Nick might have been dead the entire time.
Poor guy.
And maybe Becca just sees dead people. I don't know.
He's an attorney. Like, he should be smart enough to know how many buttons to button.
He wore a tracksuit to the first rose ceremony tonight. He is not an attorney. What kind of attorney? Is he one of those shop-around law firms? Like, the kind
of those,
you see
on TV? One of those calls for a DUI
yes,
ticket you see on TV?
Exactly.
We'll get you off 100% of the time.
Yes.
That's I bet
the kind
he
of
is.
Attorney he is. Absolutely.
If you're listening to this,
he is not a real attorney.
Find a commercial of Nick pointing at the camera and saying to call him so that he can get you out of your DUI.
Yes.
And,
or traffic ticket.
Oh, yeah. He's that kind of thing.
Or mesothelioma lawsuits.
He's one of those.
He's got to
be. Do you take Prevacid and suffer from something? Call Nick.
The dead
guy from The Bachelorette.
Yeah, he is not a real attorney.
Poor Nick. Highlight of the season for Nick was
being on TV.
I think he gave his last-ditch effort
to get on Bachelor in Paradise.
He said a full sentence on his way out, and I
left
think that
it all
was
on
it.
The table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He left that tracksuit on the table.
Apparently.
I think that's what he meant. He didn't,
with the two crosses.
It didn't,
not one,
yeah,
but two.
Well, yeah. One doesn't get the point across. All right, last guy we lost was Kristan, and you have quite a feeling.
I have quite a feeling for Kristan.
Tell us about the buttons he pushes.
Oh, gosh, he is just, he's beautiful with his beautiful eyes. He's just too good for Becca. Let's just put it that way. Becca is undeserving of the gift that is Kristan. He might not have much of a personality, but he is really great to look at.
Women love Globetrotters, I would think.
I mean,
if I were a woman, I would love Globetrotters.
I would pay to have him dunk a ball over my head.
You know what? I think he's unemployed now. He's not on TV anymore.
Well, Kristen, you can come be my substitute teacher anytime you want.
I think us losing Kristen is an important occasion. It's the first time I think we lost somebody who is now Bachelor in Paradise worthy. Oh. I think we're into the realm where we're going to start cutting guys who might come back.
I think he's not, I don't know. I don't think that he's Bachelor in Paradise material. Like, we have to, somebody really has to screw up. There are other, that's, those are my power rankings.
Oh, well, we'll get into them. We'll get into them later.
Okay.
Okay. So actual thing, we start with a rose ceremony and it's kind of uneventful, with a little bit of an exception. We get to see David, who comes back from the hospital and,
looking like a hot mess.
He is beat up.
He looks like he's been run over by a truck or fell out of a bunk bed, you know.
Drama!
How that works, too. How do you fall out of a bunk bed and have, like, a mark on the inside of your nose?
And his nose is straight up crooked.
Oh, it's sideways.
Yes.
It's like...
So they haven't even taken the board and slammed it back together. That is not going to take just a board to fix. They're going to actually have to do surgery to
fix
that.
They're going to have to remove it entirely, rotate it 90 degrees front ways, and stick it back on.
And how is he still talking? Because having been a victim of nose problems myself, it is impossible to talk. I have not fallen out of a bunk bed. But when you, like, I have had nasal surgery... When your nose is not quite right, you cannot talk. It is impossible. And he's clearly talking.
Maybe they dubbed over it.
Maybe it's fake.
Maybe there's like a sound studio.
What if it's a prosthetic nose?
He's just sitting in there with like a Foley guy doing like sound effects and they're like putting it over him.
Yeah, it's possible. He like came back and dubbed all of his lines after he fixed
the same situation. The same studio we went to the moon in.
Yes.
We returned and David was speaking.
Because, don't you know, the Earth is flat.
It is. We have an expert about this on the show later. David's nose is sideways. So, like, he comes back and he sits down with Becca and she goes, I wrote this down because it's an important quote for me. She goes, you look so good.
Yes.
For what happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that?
Yep.
We're all aware of something happened to him.
Exactly.
Why would you qualify that? Like... Mm-hmm. What kind of a compliment is that? Would you...
Oh, it's a pity compliment. It's, I feel so bad that your face got all sorts of messed up.
I can't get rid of you now.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Because
everyone feels so bad.
That would be awful.
I'd be a monster.
And then it would be like, I am not into the way you look. So it's actual direct evidence. I am not here for your personality. I am only here for your face.
Boy, what a face it is,
too. And I mean,
too.
She really took a chance on him, because that whole first night, he was dressed as a chicken.
Oh, he was bad.
And she didn't even get to see his real face until after she gave him a rose. She was really taking a gamble.
So, like, tell me this. What's more attractive? A guy with a chicken face? Or a guy with David's current face?
I am terrified of chickens, so I'm going to go with David's current face.
You like that sideways nose look?
That sideways schnoz. Definitely.
Listen, it's great. And it doesn't get in the way when you're kissing.
The bloodshot eye, that really does it for me.
The one bloodshot eye.
The one.
It's
and
great.
And the bruise right there on the inside of the nose.
You can't take your eyes off.
Yeah.
It's very arresting.
He looks like he got hit in the face in a boxing ring, which he might want to say is what happened instead of... I fell out of a bunk bed.
That's certainly what I would say.
Oh, that's absolutely what I would say.
Or at least
say.
Something kind of like on the aggressive end of in the middle. Like, the
yeah.
bed punched me.
Why on earth would you say, I just fell out of a bunk bed? I'm a 20-something-year-old man who fell out of a bunk bed and happened
know.
To break my face.
If that happened to me, I would go, like, bleed on somebody's hand and be like, no, he punched me.
Exactly.
Like, that's where this came from.
Yeah. It's Jordan pushed me out of the bed.
That's embarrassing. Oh, obviously it would have been Jordan.
Yes. Oh, yeah. 100%.
They're still fighting. Like, he came back from the hospital. Don't worry. That feud
is
still...
Oh, he has a vendetta against him.
Yeah.
He 100% blames that on Jordan.
I mean, I'm not mad about that.
What if a producer pushed him out of the bed? We need some more drama this season.
Drama!
What if he fell out of bed, was still asleep, and a producer just came in and punched him right in...
I wouldn't put it past them. These people are sick.
I don't understand how his nose, it's like blue up on the inside of his nose to like his eye socket. It looks like you would have to like punch in that little like
nook. What angle did you fall on the floor?
Did he fall on like a?
Did he hit his head on the fist? Post? I'm gonna need like an actual forensic scene, like a crime scene, if you will, a reenactment. You know how last season we got the reenactment of the girl who was afraid of the dogs?
Yes. Yes.
Why couldn't we get a reenactment of David falling out of the bunk bed?
Yeah, it's like black and white, but it's nighttime, so like night vision goggles.
Night vision goggles. You know that they have them in there.
That's a great idea.
Listen, if you're listening, producers, this is give the people what they want.
Oh, the people want this.
The people want a reenactment.
The people want night vision goggles.
Yes.
On the reenactment of David falling out of the bed.
100%.
Yeah, so anyway, we have this rose ceremony. We lost a couple of guys. Like, nothing dramatic happened other than David's return, and, like, he's broken. So then we very unceremoniously move forward to a one-on-one date with Garrett. There's no, like, card to give us a teaser of what they're going to do.
No, she just comes in, and she's like, I choose you, Garrett.
She just comes in, and she's like, well, Garrett and I have a one-on-one date. There's no, like, card that's like, life is a day in the park, city, Utah, or something like that.
That was good.
It's almost like I'm a professional at this kind of thing.
That was good.
Yeah, didn't even write that down on my notes.
That was
I just
quick.
Came up out of that.
That was really quick.
Thanks. So this is like the usual bachelor bachelorette date in a new city. They take somebody and they like don't have anything planned, so they just walk around and poke in and out of the shops.
Which is literally the worst date ever.
It's terrible. At least they didn't buy something worth like $1,000.
But he was carrying a bag. So what did he buy?
I don't know. Wait.
What did he buy? He was carrying a bag.
I don't know what it was.
They went to an alpaca shop.
What do they sell there?
Well,
half llama, half horse things.
There is one next to the Sea Lion Center down on Pier 39. We
oh,
did
that's
not
here.
Go. That's here.
I wouldn't know because I live here, so I don't go to that part of town.
So you don't go to that part of town. They tried on some night shirts I saw.
Oh,
they
did night
some,
shirts.
Yeah, they did some dances in front of a mirror. So I'm assuming whatever they bought was from the alpaca store. Maybe a hat.
I would tend to think a hat or shoes or gloves or something, maybe. Something furry.
I mean, something boring because they're both ungodly boring.
She spent the entire date, like, trying to crawl inside of him. She cannot get close enough.
It was sickening.
They're like it's further than just arm in arm or like hand in hand.
Oh yeah.
She is like
she's
burrowing
like a leech,
into him.
Like a tick.
She like unzips his coat and like snuggles her head in there.
Yeah.
It's disturbing.
And he's eating it up.
Oh yeah.
Of course.
Because like, it's proof that he's winning. But she loves him so much more than anybody else.
And this is literally why, usually on The Bachelorette, I stop watching at this point. Because you know that they're going to pick their first impression rose.
It's exactly what she's doing. They cut away to these like little interviews of Becca. And she's just like glowing over how magnificent he is. And other stuff I wrote down, right? Like I was just scribing the hell out of this thing. She goes, he's so tall. And he's so good at making eye contact, which sounds, first of all, like, what the hell kind of compliments are those? Second of all, those are compliments you give when you like somebody, but you don't know why.
Exactly.
Right?
He makes you feel all warm and fuzzy.
You can't help what you're into. And, like, but don't, he's so tall and good at making eye contact.
I mean, he's not Ari.
Have you ever talked to one of your friends, like, man, I just wish I could find a guy who was good at making eye contact.
Yes. All the time.
And doing it from a place that's so much taller than me.
He's so tall.
Ideally.
He's so tall. He's so nondescript. He's so boring. That is why she can't think of anything to like about him, because he is just as boring as she is.
Yeah. So they walk around this boring town, these boring people, and then they show up at a bobsled track.
What?
Which is like the least stimulating extreme sports date probably of all time. So they show up. And there are these two, like, silver medalists from the 2016 Olympics, which sounds like it's going to be something impressive. And then they're wearing their silver medals. And
which are the size of compact discs.
They are.
If
like,
you remember what those are.
They look like, do you remember when we were in high school and, like, the only thing to do is to, like, burn CDs?
Oh, 100%.
So somewhere, America built up the stockpile of about, I don't know, 100 trillion rewritable CDs that were just on everybody's like bookcases sitting around doing nothing. Two of them found their way from those 2001 bookcases onto The Bachelor tonight, The Bachelorette tonight.
We recycled them.
Those things cost like $20,000 or something, and they look like garbage.
They were rather large.
So these two bobsledders, Olympic silver medalist bobsledders, sorry, my mistake.
Who are now in love.
They are a couple now with children and everything.
Two children.
Good for them. Like,
That's great.
If you're a bobsled silver medalist and like, it's probably like the other Olympic sports where you're basically done competing when you're 17.
Yeah.
Your life's, oh, wow.
Your life all goes downhill from
there. Yeah, right? It's a bobsled joke for you right there. Your life's going downhill in a very tiny, narrow ice chute from there.
Possibly 64 miles per hour.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of G's.
Yeah, 3 to 4 G's. Whoa. To be exact.
So scientific. So, like, good for them. They get in the show, but, like what they do is they go, Garrett and Becca go bobsledding with these two women, except they don't actually do anything.
Yeah, they just sit there.
All four of them just sit in the sled. And then some random guys just push them down the hill, and then the Olympians steer.
Yeah.
And Beck and Garrett just sit there.
It's literally like being on a roller coaster.
It's a downhill ice-themed roller coaster with Olympians.
That's it. Yes. It's boring.
It's a frozen log flume.
Yes.
With somebody else
driving. What a wonderful way to put it. Yes.
I have a way.
Yes.
That's what they do. And like, and they're done. And like, if this were me, I'd be like, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was not stimulating.
So boring.
Also, I was kind of hoping to spend time with you and not these two random Olympians nobody cares about.
Exactly. I couldn't even remember their names.
I didn't even try to write them down. I'm sure we could look it up, but I don't want to because I'm so uninterested. They do this, whatever. After that, they go to this yacht club, I guess, for dinner.
The Moose Point Yacht Club.
The Moose Point Yacht Club.
Yes. What the famous Moose Point Yacht Club.
So they go there. They have like dinner and this weird concert with Grammy-nominated Granger Smith.
Is he Grammy?
I don't think he has been listened to ever.
This is my idea of, quite honestly, the most uncomfortable date.
Only heard on MySpace.org.
Like, I think that private concerts already on The Bachelorette are my idea of the most uncomfortable date, but then they have like a random crowd here tonight. They have
obviously Granger Smith draws a big crowd.
Right, clearly. They have to stand up on a platform and dance. And that sounds absolutely awful.
Granger Smith sounds like a store where you like wear flannel in and walk out driving a lawnmower. Right?
Absolutely.
Or like maybe carrying a bag of birdseed. that's what
like
a Granger Smith is.
Like an outdoor supply store.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the one, like the big eventful moment of this is they have a conversation where Garrett's like, oh, by the way, I was married and we got divorced after 2 months.
2 months.
Seems like it's a little bit late in the game to be bringing this up, right?
Eats that up.
Why? Why is she so broken?
Because he's a bit of a fixer-upper, if you will, from Frozen.
Oh, women love that.
Love it. She ate it up. She was all about it.
He's playing this weird, like, unavailability game. Yeah. It's weird, because, like, she's into him, and he's very into how into him she is.
Yes.
I think I said that right. If I didn't, like, whatever.
I think it's
people
right.
Get the idea.
Yeah.
And he just, like, drops his bomb, and she's like, I don't care. I love it. Exactly. And he's like, Well, listen, I'm a bit of a wild ride, you know, like, you better go into Granger Smith and buy some stuff so that you can wear this thing.
But not only did he drop this bomb that he was divorced after 2 months, but he said that this girl was emotionally abusive. So now he's already damaged goods, and now he has been emotionally abused, which is not something that you just, like, throw around lightly.
He's divorced. He's an emotional abuse victim.
He has.
He's a backseat bobsled rider.
Baggage.
He's got the triple crown.
He clearly does.
This is it.
Baggage.
What more could you want?
Well, I mean, she says that he reminds her of her dad. So what does that say about her dad?
Her dad.
May he rest in peace because he is dead.
Famed bobsled passenger, her dad. I think that's just a a thing that a woman says as a way of justifying a guy that she doesn't know why she's into.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, now we know why she's into him, because he's damaged goods, and she wants to fix him.
You remind me of my dad as both the best and worst reason to, like, be into somebody, right? It's a great reason to, like, to be like, yeah, this guy's great. Or it's a great reason to be like, yeah, this is over.
Exactly.
We've been together for 2 months,
yeah,
but, you know, this is over now.
Now so we have to get divorced.
See ya. That's your limit. So, yeah.
But she appreciates, she doesn't go in, she doesn't ask any questions.
That's because he's winning and she doesn't want to mess it up.
She appreciates that he was trying to make his marriage work for 2 months.
Yeah, you know, really try.
Really, he gave it a good college try.
That's what you say. You say for better or for worse or for 2 months, whichever happens first.
Yeah.
So that's what I said. That's what you guys said.
I think that's what we said. Yeah. I lost my vows.
This guy I just say what's in the Bible, and I think that's what it is.
Oh yeah, definitely. The Bible definitely says just, you know,
2 months.
You get a trial period, and turns out it's 60 days, and you can always return it. And if it doesn't work.
And that's what Garrett did. And for some reason, he is winning.
Yeah. Because he is just as boring as she is.
She sees her equal in him. Oh, that's definitely true.
They're both so boring.
So he gets the rose, whatever. We go to a group date where kind of nothing happens, but also kind of something happens. So it is a lumberjack and lumberjill date where...
A lumber Olympics, if
so
you
this
will.
Is... There's like 14 guys in this date, which is way too many.
Yeah. And maybe Nick is there.
The ghost of Nick was haunting this date.
We couldn't minorly tell.
And like, not just because he's pale and it was outdoors on the snow.
No, I literally don't remember seeing him.
He's imaginary.
Yeah.
So we go on this date and like, it's a bunch of guys doing these macho, sporty, like lift the log, split, like throw the hammer.
So obnoxious.
What is with these dates?
It's like CrossFit. But now we've put it outside.
It is CrossFit with trees.
With trees.
Yeah.
And axe throwing. Sharp objects.
Is she asking for these, like, athletic dates?
Well, okay, so she did say something that struck me as very interesting. She said, when I was growing up, all of the girls were into Leonardo DiCaprio, but I was into lumberjacks.
Well, I'm so horned up.
I understand that you're from Minnesota, but girl... Even a blind person was interested in Leonardo DiCaprio when we were growing up. He was beautiful. I don't know if you've seen Romeo plus Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann version.
I've seen it.
But it is literally the epitome of beauty. He's beautiful. How could a lumberjack versus Leonardo DiCaprio?
I mean, she made it.
There's no contest. And literally, Leonardo DiCaprio was a lumberjack in The Revenant, wasn't he?
That sounds right. That's the one with the bear.
I didn't see it, so I didn't see it.
True story. I would have preferred one of these guys to get mauled by a bear.
That would have been more interesting.
And if they survived, yeah, group date rose.
That would have been more interesting.
Yeah, so we do this, like, dumb, like, relay race game thing.
Yeah. I don't even know. Becca was on a team.
Becca was throwing an axe on a team?
No, I think a stuntman. A stuntman?
Was doing it, yeah.
Was throwing the axe off the screen.
She allegedly threw the axe and hit the target.
Allegedly.
Twice. Both of them had some very
right
tricky
bullseye
camera edits.
Bullseye in the center. There is no way.
No, there's absolutely no way. First of all, the axe handle is thicker than her arm. And that's
she
without
has no upper body strength.
She has no upper body,
the,
period.
The
it's non-existent.
Weighs more than Becca does.
She's just a natural. She's a lumberjill. She's from Minnesota.
She is from Minnesota. She's a professional.
I can't say the word lumberjill enough. It's like, it seems like...
Lumberjill.
It seems like... I mean, it's a word I should have been using.
Can you imagine, you know, the Life of Brian song? I'm a lumberjill and that's okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
There's got to be a version of this somewhere.
I chop down every tree I see. And I like to smell wildflowers. I'm a lumberjill. Have you never heard this song?
I don't remember it. We were talking about this earlier.
It's from Monty Python.
I don't remember specific moments from things.
Well,
I remember.
You need to get a journal.
I remember I liked that movie. I don't remember what happened.
It's iconic, the song.
I'm sure it is.
So now forever it will be I'm a lumberjill instead of a lumberjack.
I have no memory. Have you seen Memento?
I have. I love that movie.
See, I wouldn't know. Because it's been at least 24 hours since I've seen it, so I'm just done. I fall asleep and I wake up and I don't remember whether I've seen Memento or not.
Just, you know, make some tattoos on your arm.
Terrified of needles. We talked about that too. Yeah, it's weird, right? I have no memory, but also weird. I hate needles. So the group date, kind of uninteresting. Well, until the end.
I mean, they did the Mulan thing.
Hot John won the Mulan. He had a great
amazing.
Date.
Amazing. He had a great date.
This guy.
And he got robbed. Robin season.
He did get robbed.
He was robbed of the group date rose.
There was no group date rose. And
no.
It obviously would have been him.
Exactly.
He is not an outdoorsman.
Instead,
he's a tech worker.
He gets a piece of wood with a axe in it.
And now he's got to carry that thing around in his bag the whole time?
Exactly.
Terrible.
Robbed.
Oh, super Robin
season.
Should have
had a group date rose. I don't understand.
I didn't even think about that. You're so right.
Robbed.
Robin season. Hot John Robin season.
Yes.
Immediately following this, we go sit down. She unrobs Jordan of a piece of golden underpants, which he thinks is... she's giving it to him like a joke. Like, you're the only person who's going to actually wear these because you're an idiot.
Well, I think it's a throwback to
the
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Because the creature that Dr. Frankenfurter makes wears shiny gold hot pants.
Does he understand this?
I doubt it. Does he understand anything? Does he know how a mirror works?
I don't know.
I don't think so. He's the dumbest person alive. So no, I don't think he realizes it. But that is what I think it is an allusion to. So I'm going to go with that.
Okay. So I guess that happens.
And
he puts them on and he walks around and everybody hates him even
more.
But
I don't understand like what the purpose was.
The purpose was the producers were like, make something exciting happen on TV. So they tell them to put these on.
Yeah.
And that's it. So that happened. And then the Jean Blanc fallout happened.
What a mess.
So they're sitting there and like they're talking like on the group date sneak away part. And he's like, listen, I got you this perfume, which is like, you know, like that's his thing. That's his love language. Perfumes.
Yeah.
And she's like, great, I guess. And he's like, it's because I love you so much. And she's like, I don't really, like, I'm not really that into it.
She's so uninterested.
Yeah, he's like, it's not even very heartfelt. He's like, I guess I love you a lot.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, see ya though. And then somebody, Leo comes in. He's like, well, this is my turn now. And she's like, thank God.
Yeah. But then we don't even see Leo's conversation.
No, because it was probably funny and like Leo.
She probably didn't know how to speak because he's so beautiful.
Yeah, right? You think that. I think he's hilarious.
You are not on team Leo's good looks. It's fine.
Good looks, maybe not. So then JB comes back for a second round of beating. And he's like, what goes on? I feel like we didn't finish this. Like, did you know that I'm in love with you? And she's like, yeah, I know. I'm just not into you, and also I think you should leave.
Yeah.
And
now we're backpedaling.
And he's like, "But I got you the perfume," and it gets a little. She's very upset about this. It gets confusing.
Yeah,
to me.
I was very confused.
Do you get it?
No, I was very confused because then they walk outside to the car, and she says, "All I want is for you to be honest with me," and I guess at some point he was like, you know what I said earlier? I take it back. I don't really love you. So let's just rewind this whole thing and take a few
terrible
steps
strategy.
Back. And you just can't do that.
You can't. I mean, I think he was like grasping at straws the whole I love you thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that was a last ditch effort that was very transparent and like terrible.
Yeah.
But also, why would you do that? It's still, you could still blend in and be fine.
He was so focused on getting that one-on-one. They spent so much time talking about him getting one-on-one.
What's that about?
You knew from the beginning that he was going to get cut.
Just use your percent, dude. You don't have to do this. Just use your percent.
He
didn't do it.
No. Because he doesn't know how to blend in.
That was my number one for a couple of weeks. I'm going to have to adjust.
Going to have to adjust.
It's really hard to come up with four guys that I actually like anymore.
You know, my number one, much like Taylor's number one, was Joe the Grocer. And we can't always get what we want. So,
Let's take a second. Before we go on and talk about this Will's 101, Let's take a second and talk about Lincoln and a moment that he had amongst the men.
Yes.
So they're all sitting around. I think this is just entirely unprovoked. I think he's just like, listen, the earth, you see that flat piece of paper over there? That's what the earth is to me. And he's like, I don't believe it's round. Like, prove it.
Get an astrophysicist, he says.
He's like, I don't believe it. Like, could it be a circle? Yeah. Could it be a rectangle? Sure. He's like, no one's ever proven it.
No.
Does he really think that no one has ever proven the earth is round?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So the kids in school, it's very popular to say that the earth is flat now.
Is it a funny joke?
You live in San Francisco where you're surrounded by very smart people all the time. But
I do live with Taylor.
You do.
The smartest person.
She is the smartest person. She is. But in the rest of the world, people actually think that the world is flat.
It's like coming back or like it's just a joke?
No, I think people actually feel this way.
Is it like the Pop Rocks and Coke thing where everyone knows it doesn't actually kill you, but like we make this joke out of it and like it becomes a thing?
I mean, no. I think it's a conspiracy theory. It all started with B.O.B., the musician.
Yeah.
And I think there are some NBA players who are like, hey, the earth is flat.
There definitely are.
And now B.O.B. wants to send a private rocket ship out to outer space.
It sounds like you are just so in tune with the youth culture of America.
I am so in tune.
I can't believe he said that. Lincoln.
Oh, absolutely.
He just brought it up. Like, I'm so proud of my spherical earth skepticism that I want it to be on TV that I don't believe in this. Like, this is a part of who I am.
Yeah.
I'm next level smart. What an idiot. I hate this guy.
Yeah. He is just becoming worse.
And yet he is on the show still. Come on. Come on, JB. Just keep your mouth shut and let this guy ruin it for himself.
Yeah. Well, she clearly doesn't know about the phantom defecation that's going on, so...
Oh, she'll find out.
She has to find out. I hope she finds out.
It's terrible.
It...
What if they get to the one... What if they get to, like, the last three, and they have the fantasy suite, and, like, it happens?
She wakes up and steps in a
pile on the floor?
What is this? Covered in toilet paper.
That is just the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. And I live in San Francisco.
At first, I thought that maybe it was he got drunk one night and did it, and then it became like a funny joke. But I actually think he does this. This is
a part of his daily life.
This is his way.
It's a disgusting part of his daily life.
It's so gross.
She needs to get away from that.
She needs to know.
How does somebody not tell on him immediately?
Exactly.
Listen, I just need you to know Lincoln poops on the floor, covers it with toilet paper, and like, I just need you to know that. Like, that's okay. Like,
use the snitch. Where are you on this one?
Use part of your percent on that.
Exactly.
And then use the rest of your percent on you. Exactly. Everyone should be doing this. Everyone should just go into a pack.
Just like, devote some time to it.
Everybody, first thing tonight, just get it off your chest. Get this one sentence out, and then you can say whatever.
Yeah, because he has to have done it in the mansion at this point.
Oh, they know. They have to know.
They have to know. Why are they keeping this under wraps?
That's disgusting. let's talk about Wills' 101.
Oh my gosh, so boring.
Last date of the thing is Wills' 101. Wills gets points for wearing a hoodie with his name on it.
Oh my gosh.
His first name.
It's huge.
It's not like a Letterman jacket. It's like a legitimate jacket he bought and then had his first name put on the chest.
It looks like something, you know, that you buy at the mall from a kiosk.
Oh, that's definitely where he got it.
When you're about 14 years old.
Yeah, that's where he got it. But as an adult. That's like a 30-year-old.
Oh, absolutely.
He also has a mustache now, which...
slightly on the pedophile side.
Yeah. As somebody who had a mustache last recording of the season. I have no facial hair now. For everybody who's listening and keeping in mind what I look like, I don't have any more facial hair. I look like a child. Wills looks like a child rapist. It's different.
It's true.
Why would you have a mustache?
But it's not quite all the way grown in. It looks like a prepubescent mustache.
It is.
It's just there, but it's not fully grown in.
It's just going to be there in like a week or so.
Honestly, just looks like he needs to trim his nasal hairs.
It looks terrible.
Like a walrus, if you will, without the tusks. You know how they've got the whiskers going on?
Yeah.
That's what he looks like.
It's terrible.
But thinner.
So we have this date, and the whole time Becca's like real shaken up about the whole JB thing, which doesn't make any sense. The concept is that you get rid of the guys who are affecting you negatively, and then you just move on. Right?
She doesn't know, but she doesn't know how to do that, clearly, because if I had a nickel for every time she said Ari's name.
Wait, who's Ari? I must have missed that.
I think you did.
Boy, they really drive the steamroller over you with that message, right?
Yes.
It is
terrible.
Don't
forget, in case you forgot, Becca was broken up with on national television.
But was it serious?
I mean, apparently they were engaged.
They were engaged.
Don't you remember?
I have no memory.
After like
Memento, remember?
Three dates, maybe.
Yeah. So the whole time she's just super salty about this whole thing, and then Will just sits there. He looks just like high out of his mind.
He's probably trying to stay awake. He's so bored.
Maybe that's true. And like she has this conversation where she's like, "I'm upset about this," and like I love her, and he's just sitting there like, "Yep, yep." And then that's the whole date. And she goes, "You're such a good listener. Thank you. You're perfect." And gives him the rose anyway. And he's like, "Whatever. I'm still in. So go."
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad for him because this is a no-win date for him.
Yeah. No, uneventful.
He's kind of boring.
Well,
right?
He does say that he has baggage. Shocking.
Do we know what it is?
No, he just said he had his heart broken. Just like everyone. Just like everyone if you aren't adult.
Yeah, I just wrote down, is he high, ? And that was like, I just stopped making notes after that.
I really think that he was just trying to stay awake.
Good for him.
They're in
altitude affects all of us differently.
That's true. And they're in Utah, and you know that they don't allow that there.
That's definitely true. So, we go on, we have a second rose ceremony. It's, nothing actually happens. We have no cocktail hour. She just goes straight to the rose ceremony. She's like, I know what I want to do, and I know I'm going to get rid of Nick and Kristen.
Don't you know?
Right, and prior to all this, Nick is all about talking.
He needs to.
To Becca, yeah.
Because he hasn't done it yet.
Because has he been there?
She's like, she lines up, and she's like, I know who I'm going to get rid of. And they're like, who is it? And she goes,
I need pictures, please.
Who's that, like, pale suggestion of a guy? Like, just
the one who wore a tracksuit.
Yeah.
To the last rose.
A borderline essence of a person. Like, what is that? Can I get rid of that? Does it count as one, or is it like a fraction?
Right.
So, that's it. She gets
rid
of that.
He looks shocked. The look on his face when he finds out that there's no cocktail party, he looks like all of the blood was drained out of him.
That's how he looks all the time.
That is true.
He has no circulation because he died 30 years ago.
Exactly. He doesn't even exist.
All right. Let's go on the power rankings. Listen, number four for me was very hard. I had, of the first three, I feel like decently okay about. I have a hard time being attracted to more than three guys this year.
Oh, you find that difficult?
Yeah.
They all look alike.
That's true. Well, yeah, they all look alike and it's bad.
Yeah.
Unless you're into like steroided up hairless men who are all like relatively aggressive to each other.
I mean, Colton is probably the best looking guy. And he looks like Chris Pratt.
Oh, really?
He is probably the best looking guy.
I agree with you, but that's coming later. My number four. This isn't because of the sideways nose. It is because of his opposition to Jordan. My number four is, I'm sad to say, David.
David the chicken.
David the chicken.
The schnoz.
The sideways nose.
I think we should just call him now. The schnoz.
Well, now that Nick's gone, it's clear who we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it. No need to talk about it. Whatever. Who is your number four?
Who I actually think is going to go...
You can do it however you'd like.
Well, okay, so I...
How did you do your power
rankings? I did my power rankings by who is going to be on Paradise and who is going to be the most interesting...
What a genius way to do it.
Paradise is literally the only reason why I watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
I don't know why anybody would watch The Bachelorette this season other than to listen to my show and to prepare for Paradise.
That's true. And I don't know why you do not do a season on Paradise.
I have a real life, too. You know?
I don't think you do.
You're right.
It's getting in the way of your reading.
The rest of my life is a mirage. Thank you. Wait, Taylor, did you hear that? I should be reading right now. Anyway, so... That's the way you did yours.
Yes.
Who is number four on the list of men you'd most like to see on Paradise?
Oh, Jordan. Absolutely.
Jordan is a lock to be on Paradise.
Absolutely. He's going to... He is the male version of Corinne.
Who does he get with on Paradise? What if it was Corinne?
Oh, my God. My mind would be blown. I love Corinne.
Would that be...
I would watch a reality show of just Corinne.
That would be like a sun eclipsing a sun within like a supernova just exploded.
But for real, I think he's going to end up with one of the twins. Because you know that they're not done with Paradise. Or Amanda.
Both of the twins.
Both of the twins.
Jordan could handle both of the twins.
He absolutely
could. He thinks he's enough.
Yes.
And they don't know anything, so no. They might believe him.
I actually think they might be the same person.
The technology exists.
Change it in and out.
I mean, I saw the Parent Trap. Like,
exactly. It's just a green screen.
It's a great point.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
It is. Who's number three on your list?
I'm going to cut out Chicken Guy David.
Wow.
And go with Colton.
Colton? Yeah, I think you're right.
But I can't explain that until I get to my bold prediction.
Okay. Good. We'll go over to my number three. First time in my power rankings, but still kind of number one in our hearts. It's Hot John.
Hot John.
I think Hot John had a great episode tonight.
He did.
He never has a bad moment. He's always has a great attitude. Yeah. He's a team player. And also he's Hot John.
And he does a great job, at least he did tonight, of standing out, but blending in.
Oh, the perfect strategy.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like there are maybe only two guys who I could stand to be in a room with for more than 10 minutes, and he's one of them.
He's one of them. That's good.
And the other one is my number two. It's Leo.
Leo.
Right?
What a beautiful man.
I guess I'll just let you talk about
it. He is such a beautiful specimen of man.
And he's hilarious.
And he is a stuntman.
He is a stuntman. Which is kind of a badass job.
Yeah. A little bit. And he is just the epitome of what a male should look like. Minus the hair. I can get behind you with the hair thing.
It's kind of gross, right? I'm a hair person. Like, that's my number one thing.
I mean, it's just beautiful, though. It's so curly and luscious and big.
It doesn't look like it's soft to me.
I feel like it. It's probably very coarse. Because
I want,
that's
like,
how
when
curly
I put my
is.
Hands in it, I want to be soft, not coarse.
They make hair products for that.
I don't believe you. Who is your number two?
My number two is Leo, because Leo
Look
will definitely be on Paradise.
I think Jordan is the 100% like lock.
Yes.
And I think at this point, Leo would probably be.
Oh, yeah. There's always some like weird random.
You got to have people who can talk on TV.
Yes.
Leo can talk on TV, right?
Yeah.
That's good enough reason for me.
Yeah.
The rest of this cast is kind of just a bunch of nothings.
Oh, yeah. There's what nobody to
I don't even.
About.
I'm not even 100% sure whether his name is Connor or Colin is how the rest of these guys
I
are.
I think it's Connor, but I don't. He just looks like everybody else. He
I
just
think
looks
it's Connor,
like a
too.
Generic white guy.
I wouldn't go to the bank with that.
Yeah. Is he a fitness trainer? Because that's what they all are.
I think I said the generic white guy is my description of him in the first.
Yeah.
Like,
he
our
is
first
a generic
episode.
White guy.
Yeah. And I'm. It's Connor.
Yeah. I think.
Mostly sure. My number one is Colton.
Colton.
I think Colton's great.
I think Colton is great, too.
He's attractive.
Yes.
And he hasn't had any drama yet, so...
Well...
Yeah.
You know. He has drama.
Does he? Am I missing something?
I mean, the Tia situation.
Oh, that. Whatever. I think that's just a bunch of nothing. I think it's a bunch of, like, producer-generated nothing. I think.
Okay.
I'm very committed to
we'll
that.
We'll talk about this later.
Okay. Who is your number
one? My number one is Joe the Grocer.
Joe the Grocer.
Joe, give the people what they want.
The people want.
The people want
a sale
fresh
on
produce.
Pineapples. Yeah.
They want fresh produce. And they want Joe the Grocer.
They want Joe the Grocer squeezing their tomatoes.
He is going to be a star on Paradise.
You just grossing out there on the island?
And what if he opens up a fresh fruit stand?
Well, logically, he would, yeah.
They don't have Jorge anymore. You know, he quit to open his own tourism company.
So they need a grocer.
They need a bartender.
Well, somebody with grossing experience.
But I think that Joe would do a phenomenal job. He could sell fruit on the side of the road in Mexico.
He sells it in Mexico, or they move Bachelor. The Paradise is now a grocery store in Milwaukee.
Now that is a dating show I would watch.
It sounds like Paradise to me.
Absolutely.
Food, yeah. That's something they...
Finding fresh produce?
All of these people sitting around right now are like sitting around being on The Bachelorette for like a month at a time, 2 months. They're like, wait, a whole bunch of food in one place sounds like paradise to me.
And you truly don't know if you love someone or not until you go to the grocery store with them. What type of grocery store shopper are you? Are you, I know what I want, I'm going with a list?
That's me.
Or I need to walk up and down every single aisle because I need a list. If I walk up and down every single aisle, I am going to come home with a bunch of stuff I do not need.
Yeah. I do. I do the list shopping.
Okay.
But I also, I try to get in and out, like.
Yeah.
It's like a pit stop for me. Like, yeah. I'm trying to break the world record
right now. You have to be efficient. Like that grocery store contest that used to be on.
Supermarket Sweep?
Yes. That's it.
I shop like I'm on that show.
That's a great way to live your life.
I'm running around pushing the cart, just throwing stuff
grabbing
everywhere.
Grabbing everything.
And then at the end, I don't even pay for it. I just push it across like a finish line.
Perfect.
And that's it.
Are you allowed back in your grocery store? Do you have to go to a different one each time?
It's Trader Joe's, so you're allowed to do
that. You steal so much.
You're allowed to do that. Great power rankings.
Thanks.
Do you have bold predictions?
Oh, I have one bold prediction.
Why don't you make it?
The boldest.
Wait, the boldest?
The boldest.
I mean, prove it.
Are you ready?
Prove it. Yeah, please.
I think that Tia and Colton are not over.
You think they're going to get back together?
They have spent so much time talking about Tia and Colton, especially not this episode, obviously, but last episode. Why would they bring Tia back on when they just found out that Colton and Tia were a thing, and they bring her back on and she's like, okay, Becca, I give you my blessing. Now we're hemming and hawing over it. I think Colton is going to go very far. I think Colton is probably going to go to hometowns.
Wow.
And I think one of two things. Either Tia is going to call Becca and be like, Becca, I've got feelings for Colton. You got to stop this. Or Colton is all, Becca, I have feelings for Tia. We got to stop this. Either way.
He's going to get so close to finishing and realize, yes. Oh no, I might have to get married to this woman and then just cut it off by going back to Tia. Well, and who wouldn't want Tia? If the options are Tia or Becca and that's it.
Oh, you would just choose Tia, hands down.
Yes.
Hands down. But it's going to be a storyline on Paradise. I would bet $10,000 on that.
I bet $10,000 on the Super Bowl, and I won.
Well, I'm going to win this. This is my Super Bowl. I'm telling you it's going to happen.
I hope you win.
I know that it's going to happen.
My bold prediction was actually going to be that Granger Smith is on Bachelor in Paradise. No, that's...
That would be
interesting. This is the most anyone's ever talked about Granger Smith, ever.
I truly don't know who he is.
No, So my bold prediction is also about Colton, though.
Okay.
At the previews, she's like, yeah, I fall in love with two guys, right?
Okay.
One of them is obviously Garrett.
Oh, my God. Obviously.
And the other one is Colton. And I think.
What if Joe the grocer comes back and she's in love with Joe?
What if she's just, like, walking outside? They're, like, down to hometowns or whatever. And she's just walking around outside. And, like, here comes Joe the grocer, like, pushing the hot dog cart. Like, hot dogs, groceries. And she's just like, you know what? This is my life. I'm going to bail on these jabronis and just gross my life away with
Joe. Live the dream.
What was I saying?
No, she's in love with two men.
She's in love
with
two men.
Garrett.
Garrett and Colton.
Okay.
And I think Colton is going to get himself out of it, right? I don't think it's for Tia.
Okay.
I think he's just going to bail on it and be like, listen, I got to go.
Okay.
And she's going to be left with Garrett, which is who she wanted the whole time.
Oh, of course. It's so obvious.
He's not even...
Can we bring Nick back?
There's like 11 guys left. He's not even top 10.
No, exactly.
Nick Vial?
Yes. Can we bring him back?
He's single, Caitlin? Right?
He is single. Gross. Well, he is in a relationship with himself.
She should be with Granger Smith.
Maybe. What if?
Becca Granger Smith Kufrin.
What if? Becca's like, hey, I'm not into any of these guys anymore. Garrett, sorry.
You know what I am into? Birdseed.
I'm in to
30-gallon sacks of birdseed.
Yes. Granger Smith.
The kind you can only buy at a Granger Smith superstore. Right?
And that's what they do for the rest of their lives.
They make commercials on TV where you can hear the wind over the thing, like, yes. Come down to Granger Smith and buy our 50-pound bird seed.
Maybe they're in a bird costume. Maybe David, the chicken suit comes back. Is there. It would be perfect.
Like this permanent sideways nose.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on my show.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having
it's
me.
It's been fantastic having
you. This has been a dream.
I hope it was everything you've always wanted.
Oh, absolutely. Your studio is beautiful.
There's the staff is really what's incredible. Yeah. Right? There's so many of them. You look around and you're like, how does any work get done here? Because there's like 100 people running around.
You guys are a big deal.
Yeah. There's a lot.
You're in the podcasting world.
Yeah. Somebody sitting here holding the microphone for us and everything.
Yeah.
The stand broke. It's incredible.
It really is.
Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
If any of your students listen to this, tell them to keep reading because it's the most important thing of all time.
I don't know if all of my students know how to read, but...
if only they had a teacher
They had a teacher for that.
That's the summer. You don't have to...
Yeah. They're not my problem anymore.
Yeah, they're not listening right now. Anyway, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll have Taylor back next week and it'll kind of just be...
Missed her by a whole week.
I know, right? It's too bad. I mean...
I know. Taylor... When you listen to this, I have a huge girl crush on you. Never met you. Sounds so creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're sitting here in her recording studio or anything.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Smelling stuff, being like, yeah, I remember when she was here.
I love her.
Yeah, me too.
That's good. Probably a good thing.
Differently, I think.
Yeah, differently.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, and okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
It's 2018.
The ring will be revealed with the man. I have no idea what was going on, but I was living for it.
We had some accidents.
Leave. I don't want you here. Get out.
Please get back in the limo.
Oh, y'all have so much fun, don't you know?